Okay, this week's topic is tzniut. It's not what you think it is. And after we come back, we will be dealing with the halachot of tzniut for men, for women, and a lot of very important issues. But today I want to deal with what the definition of tzniut is. So, everybody thinks they know what tzniut is, right? Everybody knows what it is. I think, though, even those who think they know what it is don't realize what an important place it has in Yahadut. Pasuk in Micha, last pasuk in Micha. Higid lecha Adam matov, uma Hashem doresh mimcha, ki im asot mishpat, va'ahavat chesed, va'atznea lechet im elokecha. It's told to man, higid lecham adam matov, it's told to man, what's good, what's the way to go? What is the path that man should go in? He has to do three things, uma Hashem doresh mimcha. Three things Hashem demands of man, not more, only three. What are they? Asot mishpat, ki'im. These are the only things that Hashem asks. Asot mishpat, v'ahavat chesed, v'atznei alechet im alokecha. I heard once from Rav Volba that tzniut is a third of Torah and mitzvot. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us only three things, and one of those three things are hatznei alechet im alokecha, that means it's a third of Torah and mitzvot. It's not a small thing. It's a giant thing. So all of us think we know what it is, but we didn't realize how important it is. It's a third of Torah mitzvot. So now let's understand. What is this? V'hatznei alechet im elokecha. Says the Targum. V'havetzenia lahalacha bidachalta de'alakach. And be tzanua lahalacha, to walk, bidachalta de'alakach, in yira of Hashem. So here we have a really amazing insight of the Targum, that tzniut is directly connected with yirat shamayim. Bitzanua, to walk with yirat shamayim, yirat elokim. A person who is tzanua in all his actions shows that he has yirat shamayim within himself. If you will, tzniut really deals with actions. Let's explain that. First of all, we know that, how do we translate tzniut?
Modesty.
Modesty, okay. How do we translate, there's another word that we use in Hebrew for modesty. What is it? Translate modesty back to Hebrew?
Anava.
Anava. Great. There is a direct connection between anava and tzniut. They both are translated in English as modesty and lo stam. They really are very, very connected. In order to understand this connection, we have to really understand what anava is all about. Okay. So what is tzniut and what is anava? Tzniut is a status, or when a person is in a state when he realizes that he is im elokav. He's with Hashem. V'havatzania lalechet im elokecha. A person who realizes that he is with elokav will act in a certain way. V'hatzneal, and the pasuk says this too, v'hatzneal lechet im elokecha. What is hatzneal lechet? When a person realizes that he is im elokav. A person who is tzanua, who realizes what tzniut is about, will act in a certain way. He will act in a tzanua fashion. Let's explain this a little bit better. We know that I think even here in the yeshiva, there is what's called a shiviti, right? It's actually brought down at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. And a shiviti, what's a shiviti? It says on it, shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid, right? A person puts in front of him when he davens, a shatz, usually they put in front of the shatz, shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. Hashem is in front of me, I made it as if Hashem is in front of me all the time. Some have a nusach of da lifnei mi ataome. No, in front of whom you stand. Now the fact is, we put this in front of the shatz when he's davening Shmon Esrei. But really, all of us should have it when we're davening, right? Because we're in front of Hashem, we're talking to Hashem. But much more so, we should all have it 24/7. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us all the time. When we're eating, when we're sleeping, when we're doing every single function of our lives, every bodily function, Hashem is with us. And when we realize that, wow, Hashem's right here, right now, right this second, in front of me. We really should have a shiviti in front of us all the time. If I realize that, I will act in a tzanua fashion. Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid, da lifnei mi ata omeid, is something which a person should have in front of him every second of the day. The connection between tzniut and anava. What is that, and how does that work? Okay, so let me ask you, before we even get to that, let me ask you the following question. Actually, we'll ask this resolved, okay? This is the question. Listen to this question, this statement. Tell me how many people agree with the statement, how many people don't agree with the statement. Statement is the following. Modesty is a funny thing. Once you think you've got it, you've lost it. Once again, modesty is a funny thing. Once you think you've got it, you've lost it. How many people think that statement is true? Raise your hands. How many people think that statement is false? How many people don't think? Everybody thinks. Great. Okay. Is there? Let's see. Okay. Let's see. I disagree with that statement. Okay? Because I think modesty is real honesty. Real honesty. The idea is like this. Some people think that modesty means knocking yourself down and making yourself less than you are. But that's not true modesty. If a person, let's take an example. Okay? I know, this is a big stretch, I know that I'm the best guy on the basketball court. I know I'm the best. I'm the best shot. And if there's anybody to take that last shot in the last second, it's me. I know it. Therefore, I really should be the one to do it. But I'm an anav. So when I get that pass in the last second of the game, and it's all on my shoulders, what do? I pass it off. Is that because I'm not the best guy? I'm not. I'm definitely not. I feel that I'm not, even though I really am. Is that modesty? No. That's shekin. That's not modesty. That's shekin. If a person, let's say, person's the best guy in the yeshiva, okay? The best guy in the shir, all right? And he really is. He's the guy who's doing everything right. He's got everything. He hops everything, and he's there. But he constantly tells himself, I'm a nothing. I'm a garnish. I'm an FS. I'm a dog. I'm worthless. Is that modesty? Is that anava? That's sheker. That's not modesty. That's not anava. Anava cannot be against what is true. Anava is real truth. So how does it work? How does it work? Hold on. There is a giant gap between us and Ribono Shel Olam. Modesty is not me comparing myself to my friend. That's not modesty. That's almost irrelevant to modesty. Modesty is me comparing myself to Ribono Shel Olam. That's modesty. That's anava. Avraham Avinu knew that he was the greatest person on earth. Hare, who was he going to compare himself to? He was comparing himself to Nimrod. He was comparing himself to Avimelech. Who was he comparing himself to when he said, V'anochi afar v'efer? He wasn't comparing himself to Anshei Sdom. Anochi afar v'efer klapei HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, let's learn a parak of Chumash. All right? Let's start on the parak of Chumash. Parashat Ba'alotcha. Parashat Ba'alotcha, and it's a fascinating and very, very important parak for a lot of different reasons, and we'll point one of them out, but Lemaisa, I really want to discuss it for a different reason. Parak Yud Bet in Sefer Bamidbar. So let's learn it together. V'atidaber Miriam ve'Aaron b'Moshe alodot ha'isha kushit asher lakach ki isha kushit lakach. Okay, and Miriam spoke together with Aaron concerning Moshe on the fact that he took an isha kushit because he took an isha kushit. So what happened here? Miriam calls over Aaron. And she says to Aaron, Aaron, quick, come over here. I got to tell you something. Moshe married a Shvarza. That's what happened. That's what the pasuk says, right? So obviously not. What happened? That was no chiddush that he married an isha kushit. So what was he telling him? What was Miriam telling him? No? You guys learned Chumash, no?
With Rashi.
So what happened? Vayomru hara. So what happened? Why were they talking about it? Because Moshe was Poresh Mi'ishto. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was Poresh Mi'ishto, and Aaron and Miriam looked askance at that. They didn't like that. That he had been Poresh from his wife. Okay? Vayomru, and they said, Harak ach b'Moshe diber Adonai, halo gam banu diber, vayishma Adonai. So Miriam and Aaron say, did Hashem only speak to Moshe? He spoke to us too. We're also Nevi'im. We didn't separate from our wives, or you didn't separate from your wife, I didn't separate from my husband. We're also Nevi'im. Who does he think he is, this Moshe? He thinks he's such a frum guy that he has to separate from his wife? What does he think he's doing? And Hashem heard. Then we have a pasuk that seems to be stuck in here without any kesher at all. Vayish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adamah. And the Ish Moshe was the greatest anav of any human being that was ever on the face of the earth. What's that pasuk doing there? I don't know. We'll find out in a minute. But then, let's just continue. Since we started the parak, let's just continue. Fascinating. Vayomer Adonai pitom el Moshe ve'al Aaron ve'al Miriam tzu'u shloshtechem el ol moed v'yitzu shloshtam. And Hashem says to the three of them, I want you all three to go out to the ol moed, and they all three went out. Rashi says, what happens at this point in time? No. Miriam and Aaron start screaming, Mayim, Mayim. Where's the mikvah? We're not ready. We're not ready to get Dvar Hashem. All of a sudden, it happened all of a sudden. A Navi usually has to get himself worked up and prepared for Nevuah. He has to get into a state of Nevuah. He knows that when he doesn't know when the Nevuah is going to come, but he knows when he's ready to get the Nevuah. Okay, he works himself into that state. He's all ready. He goes to the mikveh. He's done certain actions to get ready for Dvar Hashem to come to him. But here, it was all of a sudden. Vayevra Adonai ba'amud anan, vayamod petach ha'ol, vayikra Aaron u'Miriam, vayetzu shnehem, vayikra Aaron u'Miriam. He called Aaron u'Miriam, and the two of them went. And they were terribly distraught. They weren't ready. Moshe Rabbeinu was ready, because he had already separated from his wife, but they weren't ready. Vayomru, vayomer, I'm sorry. And Hashem says to them, Shimu nad valai, listen to my words, Aaron and Miriam. Im yeyeh neviachem Adonai b'mar'ah elav et vada, b'chalom adaber bo. If any of the Nevi'im are going to have Nevu'ah with Hashem, how's it going to be? It's going to be b'mar'ah, b'chalom, lo chein avdi Moshe, but not my servant Moshe. B'chol beiti ne'eman hu, he's always ne'eman. He's always ready. Peh el peh adaber bo. I'm going to speak to him. Peh el peh. Umar'eh velo v'chidot. Utmunat Adonai yabit. Umadua lo yireitem l'daber ba'avdi b'moshe. This is a fantastically important psukim. Why? And it actually becomes one of the Shloshesrei Ikrim of the Rambam. There's a difference between the Nevuah of Moshe and the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im. What's the difference between the Nevuah of Moshe and the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im? And here's a fantastic thing which appears in the Sefer Ruach Chaim of Reb Chaim Volozhin. All the other Nevi'im are Bamar'ah. Moshe Rabbeinu is Bamar'eh. What's a mar'ah? Even in modern Hebrew we use it. What's a mar'ah? A mirror. A mar'ah is something that you see. Chazal described the difference between the Nevuah of Moshe and the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im. How did they describe it? Moshe saw ba'aspaklaria hame'ira. And all the other Nevi'im saw ba'aspaklaria she'ein hame'ira. What does that mean? What's an aspaklaria? A what? A lens. A piece of glass. Excellent. An aspaklaria is glass. A lens. So, all the other Nevi'im saw in an aspaklaria she'ein ha-me'ira, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw baspaklaria ha-me'ira. How do you make a mirror? What? You take a piece of glass and you put something opaque or dark behind it. Take a look, right here. You have glass, okay, and it's dark behind it. As we get in later, it'll be even darker. And it is a mirror. When you have no light behind the piece of glass, that piece of glass now becomes a mirror. If you have light behind the piece of glass, you can see right through it. Moshe Rabbeinu saw b'mar'eh. It was an aspaklaria hame'ira. He saw it as it was. Okay? But all the other Nevi'im saw b'mar'ah, like a mirror, because it was aspaklaria she'ein hame'ira. Says the Ruach Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin. You know what happens when you hold up a book to a mirror? What happens? It's backwards. Everything's backwards. So you have to interpret what you're seeing. You have to go in and say, hey, wait, it means this, maybe it means this. You know, it's not exactly what you see is what you get. But if you are looking through a piece of glass, like Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. Peh el peh adaber bo. Like man to his friend. It was clear. It wasn't any kind of secrets. Lo b'chidot. It wasn't riddles. It was b'mar'eh, v'chol beiti ne'eman hu. But all the other Nevi'im, they saw b'mar'ah, b'chalom. What happens when you see something in a chalom? You have to interpret the chalom. It's not so clear. Okay? Now, therefore, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is totally different than the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im. What do we even have a different name for the Nevuah of Moshe than all the other Nevi'im. What's it called, Nevuat Moshe? Has a name. What's it called? That's Nevuat Moshe has a different name than all the other Nevi'im. What's it called? What? Can't hear you. What? No, it has a different name.
Torah. Exactly.
It's not called Nevuah. Right? We have Torah. We have Nevi'im. And we have Ketuvim, right? It's called Torah. Nevuat Moshe. It's Nevuah. But it's Nevuat Moshe on a whole different darga. And that's why mitzvot come only from Nevuat Moshe. Why? Because there was it's directly from Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no interpretation of the Navi inside it. The Nevuah of the Nevi'im, that depends a lot on the personality of the Navi. He puts his own personality into what he sees. Okay, that's why no two Nevi'im are actually going to express things in the same way, even though they might seem the same Nevuah, because their personality is involved. When it comes to Torah Hashem, it can't be based on the personality of the Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu's personality was not in there when it came to the mitzvot of Hashem. It was all directly from Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, that's a very important yisod as it is, but that's not really why I brought this down. I brought this down for this pasuk. Vayesh Moshe anav mod mikol adam asher p'nei ha'adamah. Why do you think that pasuk is here? Why do you think it's here? Seems stuck in here in the middle. Yeah.
Since he was always ready to accept the Nevuah, because he always felt like he was kind of Hashem. So that's why he was ready to get the long way.
He was always ready because he was an Anav. And he always had this idea of Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Yafeh. We'll get to that in a second. Just one more? Yeah. Well, wait. Rabbi Penner here, it's first. Go ahead.
Because Miriam suggested that Moshe thought he was better than they were. And then because Baruch called him, he in fact proved himself to so. So you might think that Miriam was correct in what she said. That statement is thoroughly to show you that Moshe didn't think himself was better than them.
Well, I think there's two things going on here. First of all, on a simple level, you know what is really amazing here? Moshe and Aaron, I'm sorry, Miriam and Aaron are the brother and sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a totally different darga than they are. If anybody should know about it, who should know about the fact that they are Nevi'im on a totally different level than he is? He's on a totally different level than they are. If anybody should know, it should be them. It's brother and sister, and they're also Nevi'im. If anybody should realize it, but they didn't. You know why? Because Ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam Asher Panei Adama. He was such a great Anav that they didn't even know and realize that he was on a whole different level than they were. That's number one. But I agree here with what you said. What is Anava? Anava is the realization of the difference between us and Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on the 50th Darga of Tara. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the 49th degree of Tara. I'm just throwing out a number. I have no idea what Darga of Tara we are on, okay? But let's say 30, okay? I'm just throwing out a number. I have no idea. We're on the 30th Darga of Tara. We think that the difference between 30 and 50 is not so big. No, it's big, but it's not so big. But the greater a person is, the higher level he is on, the closer he gets to Hashem, he realizes how great that gap really is. Moshe realized that the gap between 49 and 50 was humongous. Much greater than we realize the gap is between 30 and 50. Example B. If let's say you're standing on the other side of the Hudson, and you see the Empire State Building, it looks, you know, this big, okay? But as you get closer, it gets bigger and bigger. When you're standing right next to it and you're looking up, wow, that's really gigantic. The closer one gets to something really gigantic, you realize how gigantic it really is. Those who are further away don't realize as much how great and how tall that building is. We who are further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't realize how great he is. But as one gets closer and closer, in a sense it's a paradox, right? The greater you get, the greater the gap becomes. And that's what anava is. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was on the highest level, realized that the gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and him was much greater than a person who was on a much lower level. And that's why he realized that he needed to be separated from all worldly things, because he had to have nevuah all the time. And the reason why he was zochet to such a high level of nevuah was because he was the greatest anav. He was the greatest yirei shamayim. And that great yirat shamayim was based on the fact that he realized the gap between him and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was so gigantic. He separated from his wife because he was on such a high level, which is almost non-human, okay, that he was able to get nevuah all the time at a moment's notice without preparation. He was always on that level. Okay, since he was always on that level to get nevuah all the time, it was like he was always prepared, because he did get nevuah all the time. Now, a person who is a Baal Gaiva is compared to an Oved Avodah Zarah. Kol Mitga'eh, first of all, the first mashal that's given, he's Ki'ilu Dochek Ragle Ashkina. What does that mean, he's Dochek Ragle Ashkina? What does that mean? He Ki'ilu, imagine, Kadosh Baruch Hu sitting on Kisei HaKavod, and his feet are on Hadom Raglav, on the footstool, and a person who is a Baal Gaiva raises himself above the level where really is. Really, a person is really over here. Really, really, really. Where am I? Really. Most people raise themselves up to be on a much higher level than they really are. Okay? They make themselves higher than they really are. And that is Gava. When they do that, they're Ki'ilu, Kivyachal, squishing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's legs, squishing his feet. Why? Because there's a gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feet and us. And when we raise ourselves up, we're reducing that gap. We're making out as if that gap between the 30th degree of Tara and the 50th degree of Tara is not really so great. It's like between 40 and 50 instead of 30 and 50. We're squishing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feet. When we do that, it's like Avodah Zarah. Because to raise ourselves up and reduce the gap between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kivyachol, like reducing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level. It's the same thing. If we're lessening the gap, where it's as if we're lowering Hashem's level. That's like Avodah Zarah. Therefore, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu had this anava, and therefore he got to this great Targa of Nevuah. Even that's not the reason why I brought the pasuk. The reason why I brought the pasuk is because of the following. Who wrote this pasuk? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to write it. But he wrote it. Did he know what he was writing? Did he understand the words? Of course he did. Do you think Moshe Rabbeinu, when he read this pasuk, said, "Nah, it's not true. Vayish Moshe, anav mo, that's not true. Definitely not. I'm not the greatest anav. But I'll write it anyway because Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling me to write it, but I don't believe it." You think that's what happened? Of course not. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the greatest person in the world on the highest level. He also knew that he was the greatest anav in the world. There is no contradiction between anava and knowing that you're an anav. Okay? I'll give you another Gemara here, which is fascinating. Listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says the following. You know, sometimes you have to look at Divrei Chazal and realize that they also even had a bit of a sense of humor. Okay? This Gemara might even seem humorous. But the fact is, there's a big message here. The Gemara says, it's a Mishnah actually. The Mishnah in Sota says, Mishemet Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. When Rabbi Yehuda Anasi died, Batla Anavav Yirat Chet. That was the end of Anava and Yirat Chet. True Anava and true Yirat Chet died when Rebbe died. After him, nobody. Right? That's what the Mishnah says. Amar Rav Yosef, says the Gemara. Rav Yosef was an Amora. Rav Yosef was blind, and they were reading the Gemara in front of him. The Talmud that used to read the Mishnayot in front of the Amoraim was called a Tana. Okay? It's not Tana, one of the Tanaim, He was in the door of the Amoraim, but his job was to read the Mishnayot, he was called the Tana. So Rav Yosef said to the Tana, who read the Mishnah, don't read the word Anava. Take out the word. Cross it out. Deika Ana. In other words, don't read Mishamet Rebbe Batla Anava V'Yirat. Cross out the word Anava. Just read Mishamet Rebbe Batla Yirat. Why? Because I'm still around. And I'm the greatest Anava. Seems funny, no? How can Rabbi Yosef say, don't say that Anava died with Rebbe because I'm still here and I'm a great Anav. I'm still a great Anav and I'm still around. What's going on? That seems funny. Ella, what was Rabbi Yosef trying to teach the Talmidim? This message which we just said. That a person can be the greatest Anav and know it. That he's the greatest Anav. There's no stira. Knowing that you're the greatest guy in the shir, knowing that you're the greatest guy on the basketball court, the best, and still be the greatest anav also. Knowing that you're the greatest anav and being the greatest anav. You don't have to go, there's no mitzvah to be mafarsay, okay, obviously. There's no mitzvah pirsumei nisa, I'm the best guy in the shir, okay, that's obvious. That could really be gaiva. And often we do make ourselves into greater than we are. But the fact is, also the idea of misplaced anava is a chet. There are examples of people who overdid anava and it was considered to be a chet. Anava in the wrong place. Anava at the wrong time. When was there anava at the wrong time? Example, Shaul HaMelech. Right? He was supposed to be an anav and he didn't. He wasn't. Okay? Misplaced anava, and even Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Right? At the snare. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him to be an anav at that point, and Hashem got angry at him. That was misplaced anava. He overdid the anava. Okay? But, huh? There is a gisha like that, that you're supposed to really turn more. Not too much, but really turn ma'od ma'od heavy shfal ruach. True. But not, it doesn't mean that a person, that you can never have too much of it. That I don't agree. There is another, also has the right place in the right time. And derech ha'emtza'it is norm by all midot. Even by anava, you can't overdo it. A little bit, but not too much. In any case, the fact is, this is the message that Rav Yosef wanted to teach. Okay, so we have anava. Anava is a psychological status, right? It's something of the mind. Anava is to the mind what sniyut is to the guf. If a person has the ideas of anava in his head, what are the ideas of anava? Yirat shamayim, yirat chet, the realization of where I am in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person has that in his mind, in his head, he will act a certain way. How will he act? Bitzniyut. Tzniyut is to the guf what anava is to the psyche. That's why they're so connected. They're really, really two sides of the same coin. One is dealing with the psyche, and one is dealing with the guf. Now, the Anav really knows what his real level is. He doesn't lie. It's not sheker. Unfortunately, many people think they're greater than they are. So more people are chote with gava than overdoing the Anava. Usually, okay? But the fact is, a true Anav really knows where he's holding. And there's no stira, as we see from Moshe Rabbeinu, as we see from Avraham Avinu, as we see from Rav Yosef. There's no stira between the two. Now the fact is, this idea that anava and yirat shamayim play off each other really has two sides to the coin. Because just like a person can have his anava be mashpia on his guf, so too the actions of the guf are mashpia on one's mind. Just like if I'm an anav, I will act with tzniut. If I act with tzniut, they will have an effect on my mind. Acharei ha-ma'asim nimshachim ha-levavot. So says the Sefer HaChinuch. We, in our hearts, are really very much affected by the actions that we do. If a person is, just to bring an extreme example, okay? If a person has sadistic tendencies, okay? He can go from today to tomorrow and learn all Sifrei Musar about how not to be a sadist. But all day long he's acting as a sadist. He will never change. The only way to change is to first change the actions, and then it will change what he's thinking in his mind. We are affected by our actions. We're physical beings. And because we're physical beings, we can change our machshavas from today to tomorrow. It's not going to have that much of an effect. What does have an effect is when we change our actions, and that will have an effect on our minds, on our neshamot, on our pnimiyut. The pnimiyut is very much affected by the chitzoniyut. Therefore, this idea really works both ways. Where do we see this? Listen to this following story. The story is, and we'll pretty much end with this. The Gemara in Shabbat says the following. The end of Shabbat deals with if people have certain tendencies because they were created in a certain mazel. All right? So someone who is created in the mazel of Ma'adim, of Mars, which is the red planet, will have certain tendencies for Shfichut Damim. All right? And therefore, he has to take those tendencies and direct them in the right direction. Instead of being a ganav or a listim or a rotzeach, he should try and become a doctor, a moel, or who knows what. Okay, shochei, whatever. Bekitzer, do it for a dvar mitzvah. That's the gemara. But I don't want to get into the ramifications of that. But just listen to this gemara. Imei derav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amri le Kaldai. There was a sorcerer who told the mother of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak that your son is going to be a ganav. Okay? Your son's going to be a ganav. I've seen it in the stars. And therefore, lo shavke giluye reshe. Once that she was told this by the sorcerer, she never let him go without a covering on his head. And this is actually the makar for us covering our heads. It's this gemara. Okay? Bring a kippah. Amrale, she said to him, kase reshech, cover your head, cover your head in order that you should have yirat shamayim, emat shamayim on top of you. And also, daven hard, that the Yetzer Hara should not overcome you. Okay, he never knew why his mother had said this. She never explained to him that you have tendencies to be a ganav. But she just said, keep your head covered at all times. Make sure you never let your head get uncovered. One day, he was learning under a tree, a date palm, where beautiful dates were on top. And he was thinking about a svara, a brisker, a tara, and this Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak lifted up his eyes, and the head covering fell off his head. His head was uncovered. And before he could say Salavechik, he climbed up the tree, okay, say Chazal, and he bit off a cluster of dates with his teeth, stealing the dates that did not belong to him. That's the Gemara. Okay? The Gemara says something here. What's it saying? Okay? First of all, his mother said, cover your head, ki hechi titahavi eimata d'shmaya alacha. Right? In order that you should have eimat shamayim on top of you, cover your head. In other words, covering the head has a hashpa on yirat shamayim. Also, the connection between the tzniyut was affected by the tzniyut of the physicality had an effect on his neshama. Because once it was gone, he acted like a ganav. These two things, that tzniyut is a function of yirat shamayim, the connected, number one, and the fact that the chitzoniyut is mashpia on the pnimiyut. Those two things are we see from this gemara, very, very important. So what do we see today? We saw the connection between anava and tzniut. Anava is to the mind, what tzniut is to the guf. We saw that really they play off each other. One has an effect on the other. And really, the idea and the essence of tzniut is yirat shamayim. It's so important. It's the realization that a person has when he feels that he's in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here in front of him, and he realizes the tremendous gap that exists between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when he realizes that, he will act b'tzniut. He will act as if he realizes that Hashem is right here in front of him. And he will act a certain way. That way is the way of tzniut. Yirat Shamayim, Tzniut, Anava, they all go together. And Anava is not sheker, it's emet, but a real, true realization of where he is, klapei ribono shel olam. That's what Tzniut is. It's not what we think it is. It's something that's directly connected to Yirat Shamayim and has an effect on one's Yirat Shamayim. The problem of Tzniut, this we're going to get to and talk to at length. The problem when people take Tzniut, right? We just said Tzniut has an effect on the Pnimiut. The problem comes, or a big problem comes, when people just do the Chitzoniut. They're just doing the physical actions and it stops there. It doesn't have an effect on the Pnimiut. Okay? It's got to be something, when a person has the realization, that it does have an effect on the Pnimiut. If it stops there, it's not getting full value, we'll leave it at that, of what the actions of Tzniut are all about. Okay, wishing everybody a Ktivah v'Chatimah Tovah. Kol Tov.